she's pregnant, but she's requested that you take her baby. His little body would just shake violently. And he had a lot of, it seemed like pain because he just screamed and screamed and screamed. We made this decision now, God, we need you to help us. But it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you think you are. You are loved. He loves you. He cares about you.
Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. Carla DeBene's story is one of the most moving testimonies we have ever shared on this program. You're going to meet Carla DeBene, a mother of seven, a caregiver to many more, and a woman whose home has become a refuge for children the world has overlooked or given up on. For 17 years, Carla has opened her doors to children carrying deep trauma. Kids who have seen more pain in a few years than many adults see in a lifetime. But one particular child and one particular moment changed her life forever. She walked into a home expecting a simple visit. Instead, she found a young girl slumped over, barely breathing, foam around her mouth, and no one seemed alarmed. No one except Carla, who quietly began to pray, asking God to save this girl's life. And God not only heard her prayer, He was about to write a story that only heaven could orchestrate. A story of a baby born addicted to multiple drugs. A story of a family who said yes to the impossible. A story of love that yields, transforms, and reveals the very heart of God. And as you watch, we pray you'll see yourself in the story. Because no matter what your past looks like, no matter how broken or uncertain your beginnings may have been, God's love can still rewrite your story.
Welcome to my home. I'm so happy I can share this story with you. And I'd just like to tell you, my name is Carla DeBene, and I'm a mom. I have seven children, and I have a small flower farm. I love gardening, and I've had the opportunity and the blessing to take care of kids besides my own children. And, you know, in that, God has given me a lot of opportunity to see Him working because He loves the children that have no one. For the last 17 years, I've taken care of children. We had a home that was kind of a specialized resource home to take care of difficult, traumatized children who had difficulties. And I was put in different situations many times where I really saw God. We have this boy that you're just taking care of in respite right now, and he needs to see his mom. So we were wondering if you could go to this house, we'll give you the address, and go and see this mom and have a visit with the boy and the mom. So I said, sure, absolutely. It was on reserve. So I got the address and I drove there with this boy. He was about 10 years old at that time. And when I came in, there was quite a few family members there in the house. I came into the living room. I first came into the kitchen, then I came to the living room, and I remember seeing something that horrified me. there was a young girl, and she looked almost lifeless. She was sitting there, but she was slumped over, and it looked like almost like foam was coming out of her mouth, and she was very pasty looking. And I knew immediately something's terribly wrong, but it didn't seem like anyone really cared too much about what was happening. So we came in, and there was another mom that had come with another sibling for a visit. And she said, okay, this is not a good situation. What I'll do is I'll take the kids downstairs to visit the other family members. You can come too. But I just kept looking at this girl sitting in the middle of the room while she was kind of slumped, actually. And I thought, how can I leave? She doesn't even look like she's hardly breathing. I said, listen, and I said, can we call 911? She looks like she needs help. They said, this is what happens all the time. She's a drug addict. So I just started putting a cool cloth on her head, and I kind of was tilting her, you know, her face up because she was having difficulty. It looked like breathing. I remember being so traumatized by what was happening, thinking this is the saddest thing, and why does no one care? It seems like her life is not worth anything. And anyway, I just kept doing what I could, but inside my head, I was praying to God. I was saying, Lord, I don't know what's happening here, but this is a really bad situation. Please, can you help this girl? When she was able to get up, she got up. She went to what must have been her room. She came back, and she was holding this wooden plaque about this big. It had a metal Jesus on the cross with his arms out. And it said underneath, it said, he loves you. And all she said to me was, she said, is it true? Does he love me? First of all, I was astounded that she would bring that out to me. I don't know her. I had only met her. And I thought, wow, this is a beautiful opportunity. I've been praying for her this whole time as we've been sitting here. And I said, yes, it's true. It's 100% true. I said, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you think you are. You are loved. He loves you. He cares about you. We had this amazing conversation. She told me many difficult things that had happened in her life. We had a difficult conversation, like, how does this happen? The abuse, the trauma that she'd been through. I said, I do not judge you in any way. If I had walked in your shoes, if I had been you, I probably would be doing the same thing just to stay okay. I said, and God doesn't judge you either. In fact, not only does he not judge you, but he wants to give you a better life. He loves you. He cares. Just know that in your heart. Know that.
As Carla stood in that living room surrounded by people who had become numb to suffering, she saw something that Jesus sees every single day. The Bible tells us in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. So God is drawn to suffering. He is not repelled by it. And that day, as Carla placed a cool cloth on that young girl's forehead, she wasn't simply performing first aid. She was stepping into the very ministry of Jesus. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did it unto me. So that girl was not forgotten. She was not unseen. Heaven was present in that living room. And then came that beautiful moment when she returned with that small wooden plaque showing Jesus on the cross with the words, he loves you. And she looked at Carla and asked, is it true? Does he love me? Every heart is asking that question. Every person that you meet is carrying some version of it. And the answer then and now is yes. Jesus loves you even in the chaos, even in the addiction, even in the darkness.
So after having this conversation with her, she said to me, "I need to tell you something that nobody knows. My family doesn't even know." She said, "I'm pregnant." And she said, "And I'm doing many drugs every day." And then she kind of shut down and didn't want to talk anymore. So I ended up getting the young man that I brought for the visit, and we left. I told her that I'd be praying for her. About 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the social workers, and they said the name of this young lady, and they said, "She's pregnant, but she's requested that you take her baby." That really hit hard, because they said, "We need you to be very aware of something before you say yes to this. We need you to be aware that this baby probably will not be okay." Now we had to decide, were we willing to take this on? Because it's a big deal. You're talking about a life that you don't know what's all going to be wrong. So we talked about it and we prayed about it, and both of us came to the conclusion that 100% we wanted to do this. And I know that it was only God that even gave that desire in our hearts. That was God. He was born early, so I wasn't there. When he was born addicted to 5 different drugs. One of them was a horse tranquilizer. And he was in pretty rough shape, actually. His little body would just shake violently. And he had it seemed like pain, because he just screamed and screamed and screamed. It was probably 2 years of screaming. And the only thing that would kind of give him relief would be to lay him, like in the wintertime, would be to lay him beside the fireplace on the ground on a soft blanket. And the heat from the fire would give him some kind of, like, I think, relief from the pain. So we were doing all these different things. And meanwhile, all along, we're praying and saying, you know, "We made this decision. Now, God, we need you to help us. We need you to help this little guy. Because there's nothing we can do except to love him." And we did love him. Our whole family, you know, we had 4 older girls and 1 older boy, and they just loved this little baby.
2 weeks later, Carla received a phone call. That same young woman who was pregnant with a child wanted Carla to take her baby. Think about that. Before the baby had a name, before he had a future anyone believed in, before he had taken a breath, God had already chosen a family to love him. And Carla and her husband did what love always does. They said yes. Even the social worker warned them, "This baby will not be okay." Their yes reminds me of John 15, verse 13, where Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Sometimes laying down your life doesn't look dramatic. Sometimes it looks like sleepless nights, a screaming baby in withdrawal, and choosing to love when it hurts so deeply. For nearly 2 years, that little boy cried from the pain of addiction. But Carla's family kept praying. They kept loving. They kept believing that Jesus had spoken over this child a word of love.
So a difficult situation arose where they decided that they would put this young man in a native home. And I think probably so far from the story, you can tell that I loved him as if he was my own. So you can't imagine how difficult that was for him for us. 8 months he was gone. But during that time, he wouldn't stop trying to get home again. A lot of people have been skeptical. They've said, you know, it's hard, these kind of kids that have these struggles when they're born, you'll have trouble later, you're gonna have all this these issues. And I always thought, it could be. I don't know the future. But does that mean that they don't have the right to be loved? That we can't give them a chance and see? God is love. He wants us to be His hands and feet. He wants us to love. So really, it's been a privilege to have this beautiful little guy in our lives. He's been a really important part of our lives. We can't always make decisions about his life. You know, the social workers sometimes do. And this last year, they said he had to go to a public school here. And we were kind of worried for him. We were concerned, so we prayed. And my husband and I prayed that God would take care of him, that God would just have his hands around him. And knowing that, you know, with his life, he could so easily become addicted again, or the slightest thing could be difficult for him. But at the end of the year here, they had an award ceremony. And we went, just totally unaware of what was going to happen. During that award ceremony, the teacher stood up and said that he wanted to give an award that was really important. And it was an award of truth. Now I'm actually going to read to you what this award said, because I think it just shows what God can do. So it is my pleasure to present this young man with the certificate of truth. He asks intriguing questions, he is conscientious, and he aims to do what is right. In being truthful, he is not only true to others, but to himself as well. His confidence and abilities are always growing. He is not easily swayed or deterred by others. And in displaying truth, this young man exhibits integrity as well. I am confident that in having integrity, truth, and a strong moral compass, this young man will live a life of courage, honor, and respect. My husband and I were so shocked. We had no idea. They said, the teacher came to us and said that he bows his head every meal at lunch in front of all his peers. He has friends that like him. He prays for his food. The teacher said when things start to happen that are questionable, he just has no problem to say no.
Years later, the very child who was expected to struggle for the rest of his life stood before his school as the recipient of an award titled Truth. The teacher described him as courageous, honest, principled, prayerful, a boy with a moral compass, a boy who bows his head and prays for his meals in front of his classmates, a boy who is not easily swayed. What the world feared would destroy him, God transformed into strength. This is the miracle of grace. And it reminds me of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. No addiction is too deep, no trauma is too severe, and no beginning is too broken for Jesus to redeem. And Carla said something so important. It's not the end of the story, but I know that what God started, He will finish. That's what she said. That echoes Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God finishes what he starts, especially when he starts it in love.
Now to me, when you look at where he came from, when you know the weaknesses that he was probably born with, God has done a miracle. I know it's not the end of the story, but I have faith so much faith that what God started, he will finish in this young man. And I want to read you a Bible verse. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I keep thinking back to that mom. Does he love me? Is it true? I think this story answers that.
There's a moment I cannot forget, when the young woman, barely conscious, addicted, broken, looked up holding the plaque of Jesus and asked, "Is this true? Does he love me?" The entire gospel is contained in that question. And Romans 5:8 gives the answer. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still addicted, still angry, still running, still lost, Jesus loved us. That's the message of Carla's story. A child healed by love, because a Savior stepped into human pain, bore it on the cross, and still heals today.
Maybe you feel like that young woman, broken by life, carrying shame, unsure of your value. I know I've been there. Or maybe you feel like that little boy born into circumstances you didn't choose, fighting battles you never asked for. But hear this: Jesus loves you. He sees you and he calls you his own. Maybe your story has been marked by addiction or trauma or loneliness or failure. But the Bible shows us again and again that God specializes in beginnings that look impossible. Just as he placed Carla in that living room, just as he placed love around a newborn little baby boy who was going through withdrawals, just as he shaped that little boy into a young man of truth, he wants to write a new story within you. Jesus is still healing, Jesus is still restoring, and Jesus is still answering the cry, "Do you love me?" And his answer today for you is still yes. Yes, I died for you. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I want you to come home. If you're longing for that love, if you want Jesus to heal the broken places in your life, if you want the peace that Carla spoke about, then you can have it right now. All you need to do is open your heart honestly and say, "Yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you to heal me, to save me, to make me new." And he will. Because every miracle of love begins with a simple yes. Carla's family said yes. That mother said yes. And today, Jesus invites you to say yes too.
As in Carla's story today, life does not always unfold the way we expect. That's why our free offer today is so meaningful. It's called "God Still Lives Even When You Wonder." this book is filled with real stories, much like Carla's, that reveal a God who steps into impossible situations, a God who hears whispered prayers, a God who holds the vulnerable and heals what seems beyond repair. Even when you can't see the outcome, even when the story feels uncertain, and even when your heart is asking questions, God still lives, even when you wonder, will inspire you to keep walking by faith, knowing that the same God who watched over that tiny baby and shaped his life with grace watches over you as well. We would be honored to pray for you. If you have a personal prayer request, the information on your screen will show you exactly how to reach us. Share your need with us, and we will place your name on our prayer list and lift you up before God. To each one of you who supports It Is Written Canada through your prayers and financial gifts, thank you. You make it possible for stories like Carla's to reach hearts across this nation. And if today's program has inspired you, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. To keep this ministry on the air, we rely on the generosity of viewers like you. You can make a donation on our website, and you can also support the mission by following us on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribing to our YouTube channel, and listening to our podcast. Friends, if you long for the joy and peace that only Jesus can give, open His Word every day. Remember how Jesus defeated the enemy in the wilderness. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." As you cling to God's Word, you will find strength, hope, and life in Him.